Next man up, 102.5, the game, Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you on this Monday. Hope everyone out there had a great weekend. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Titans wrapped up the preseason on Friday night. College football returned with week zero action on Saturday. Plenty to get to throughout the show. The Titans cutting down their roster to 53 tomorrow afternoon. We will do some roster math later on in the show to see how many locks there are and where those inflection points might come on the bubble as the Titans cut down their roster over the next 24 hours or so. Parker Kelly with us for the full show today. Parker, what's going on? How was your weekend?
Jake, it was phenomenal. We had college football back. We had some Farmageddon action to get to. It's hard to complain because Saturdays in the fall are back, and it's better than ever.
It is, and it was fantastic to be able to sit down on Saturday morning and just get ready for a college football game. And we talked about it last week about how week zero, a little bit underwhelming, but there was one great game, and that's Farmageddon, Iowa State, Kansas State. We'll talk about it later. It worked out for me that I got to sit down and watch it. I then went down to Tullahoma and called a high school football game, which I got to say was a ton of fun. I hadn't called high school football in almost two seasons. It was the 2023 fall, the last time I got to call a game. It was a ton of fun. Tullahoma got the win over Shelbyville, rivalry matchup. Marvancy Johnson scored four touchdowns for them, so shout out Marvancy Johnson. It was a really fun game to call, so it was a good weekend to go watch some high school football and really start to feel like fall is back. I don't know, if you haven't walked outside yet today, weather's a little chillier. It's starting to feel like football here.
It's getting a little crisp out there, right? Pumpkin spice is making its way back to the shelves in grocery stores.
Right.
So it's a sign. Falls upon us.
I think the pumpkin spice lattes come back tomorrow. I think my fiance told me that this morning. So it's the first signs of fall. It is false fall. Is that what they call it around here? False fall?
Fake
like,
fall.
It's going to get up to 90s fall again at some point. But for now, we'll be happy the highs are
and
in the
70s. And that may come in November, may come in December. I remember when I was a freshman in high school and we got up to 90 degrees in December one year.
Right. Who knows? Like right now, be happy the highs are in the 70s and 80s for the next week. I'm sure it will be blazing hot again before we know it. Couple of things before we get into the Titans preseason game from Friday night. Lot to get to with that finale. Cam Ward, his performance, scoring a touchdown on the last drive of his preseason. Van Jefferson's bounce back game. We'll get all into all of that in this first hour. But before we get into football, I've got to shout out Tommy Fleetwood. Tommy Fleetwood has been the definition of always the bridesmaid, never the bride. He comes up short in all of these tournaments, had never won a PGA Tour event. He decides to save it for the Tour Championship. He finally wins yesterday and wins himself a cool $10 million. Tommy Fleetwood saving his best for last to wrap up the golf season and finally winning. The opportunities he had this year, unbelievable how many times he had the lead on Sunday and just couldn't close it out. Yesterday, he got out to a three-stroke lead. It closed up a little bit, but he was able to pull away. Beats Patrick Cantlay again. $10 million. That's a pretty good weekend for Tommy Fleetwood.
Yeah, and it's always fun to root for the underdog, and I'm not saying Tommy Fleetwood's an underdog, but he's just been there. He has been so close, and to finally see him push back that through that barrier and finally get the win, $10 million, not a bad prize right there. So
right, and you see the emotion from him after he finally sunk that last putt, and he talked about how he'd gotten so close, and it's got to be great to finally get the monkey off his back. I think that's something all sports fans can rally behind, is this guy, he's worked hard, he's come so close, he finally wins. You know, a major is obviously more important, but outside of a major, the Tour Championship is probably about as close as you can get to the big time, and he ends up getting a nice $10 million check for his win in the Tour Championship. Also this morning, came out ESPN ranking their top 100 players, and I think this top 100 is better than the NFL top 100, which, yes, is still coming out. I believe they finally are in the
which is
teens.
So nuts.
We talked a bit about this on the show like a month and a half ago about
yeah.
Who knew that the NFL Top 100 was coming out? Guess what? It's still coming out. I believe they're at like 16 or 17.
They've been dragging this thing out. I mean, just dragging it out.
I think it's supposed to get to one right before the season starts. But they've changed it up from instead of doing it on TV, they're just releasing it on Twitter, two players at a time. So I don't like the NFL Top 100. They have Tua Tagovailoa ranked as a Top 100 player this year. The players, as much as you know the players know football, I don't really trust the players' opinions on who the Top 100 players are, because a lot of them seem to just write in their friends or they write in quarterbacks, and that's how you get Tua Tagovailoa in the Top 100. ESPN put together a column of the opinions of 10 different NFL analysts. So it's a lot of opinions. They rank the top 100 players. Can you guess how many players are in the top 100 for the Titans, Parker?
One.
I think that's
pretty
easy.
That was so hard. That was such a hard guess.
I know. That was tough. Jeffrey Simmons is ranked 65th this year, 21 spots lower than he was a year before. So after a year where he only had 5.5 sacks and really didn't have his best stuff throughout the year, he falls 21 spots. Here's what they say about Jeffrey Simmons. Simmons' offseason goal was to cut fat and pack on muscle, streamlining his body to more effectively get after the quarterback. He is noticeably quicker, but still packs the strength to bull rush offensive linemen. Defensive coordinator Denard Wilson plans to use Simmons more across the formation to create favorable matchups this season. He hasn't recorded a double-digit sack campaign yet. That is from our friend Teron Davenport, who will be on the show with us tomorrow for all 3 hours. So excited to have TD for a TD Tuesday once again. The projection that they have for Jeffrey Simmons, 6 sacks. So maybe not what Simmons would be hoping for. I think, you know, the change he's made with his body, he's trying to get leaner so he can get after the quarterback. I think he wants to surpass that career high of 8.5 sacks so he can get paid again. 6 sacks, I think, would be a disappointment, but Jeffrey Simmons, the only Titan listed in the top 100 by ESPN's ranking. Not surprising. I think Calvin Ridley maybe would be in the top 150, but I don't know if you could really make an argument for anybody else to be in the top 100.
I don't think so either. I think Amani Hooker might be third, but that's a stretch. So Calvin Ridley's definitely next in line. Going back to the Simmons thing, if he gets 6 sacks, I mean, that's the reason he lost 20 pounds. We're seeing a trend of defensive tackles, guys like Micah Parsons, who are thinner, but they have the speed to power rush, and that's why Jeffrey Simmons lost weight, so he can record more than 6 sacks. He got 5 last year, and a 1 sack improvement, I think, would be a disappointment in his eyes.
Right. Sacks are not always an individual stat. Like, I know we look at these a lot when it comes to how good is a pass rusher, you base it off sacks, but sacks don't always mean that you made the play. Sometimes it's Tavondre Sweat bull rushes up the middle and ends up pushing the quarterback right into somebody else's arms. Tavondre Sweat made that play happen, but he doesn't get the sack. Somebody else does. So you can't use sacks completely as the metric to measure Jeffrey Simmons' performance, but again, he's talked about how he got leaner to get more sacks. He's got to get more than just a marginal increase in sacks if he wants to prove that he deserves another big contract. Other highlights, maybe not highlights if you're a Titans fan. Derrick Henry ranked 29th by ESPN. A.J. Brown ranked 26th. Both of them, I believe, are lower than last year. Actually, Henry moves up. Henry was not ranked last year. That's interesting.
It was shocking.
I didn't notice that, but I guess, I mean, he wasn't coming off his best year with the Titans. Your top 10, no surprise, Patrick Mahomes is number 1, Josh Allen number 2, Myles Garrett 3, Lamar Jackson 4, Joe Burrow 5. Week 1 opponent, Pat Surtain is 6th, the second highest rated defensive player on the list, so that'll be a tough test for Calvin Ridley and Cam Ward. Wide receivers, Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase go 7-8, Micah Parsons 9, despite laying on the training table this weekend, and Chris Jones rounds it out at 10. So again, that's the NFL Top 100 from ESPN. I trusted a little bit more than the NFL Top 100 from the players, but again, it's tough to compare position by position. It's not comparing apples to apples, but in both of those rankings, the Titans only have one player in the top 100, and that is Big Jeff Simmons. We'll talk more about Jeffrey Simmons later on in the show, as he was on the field on Friday night. I thought he looked pretty good. I was surprised they put him back out there for a second series, but he did look like his old self. Excited to see him in the regular season, but we'll talk about that more later on in the show. Also, we'll get into college football. Week zero over the weekend. Farmageddon was an instant classic. Heck of a game between Iowa State and Kansas State out there in Dublin. Also, Hawaii caps off the day with an upset win, if you want to call it that, over Stanford.
Go Bows, baby.
The Rainbow Warriors pulling off the win at home thanks to a walk-off field goal. Also, I was in the stadium on Friday night for the Titans' first home game of the year. I have a couple of gripes on presentation issues, and we'll talk about that coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. But coming up next, Cam Ward, his preseason finale. He ends it on a high note. But are we concerned about some of the technical stuff with Cam Ward? Also, Van Jefferson doing what he does, showing out on a Friday night in Middle Tennessee. We'll talk about both of those players coming up next. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you on this Monday morning. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. That was Brian Callahan post-game on Friday night, talking about what he wants to see from Cam Ward after the preseason as he prepares for his regular season debut just under 2 weeks away against the Denver Broncos. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'd love to hear from you. You can text or call our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Cam Ward, his third and final preseason game before his debut for his rookie season, about a week and a half away, 2 weeks away. He looked good on Friday night. 16 plays out there for Cam Ward. He only threw the ball four times. Did take his first sack in the preseason, which I think we all knew was kind of, it would happen at some point. And you were missing three starters instead of two on the offensive line this week. The entire right side of the offensive line, in fact, was backups with Corey Levin, Blake Hance, and Ollie Udo were out there on Friday night. So he takes a sack, but overall goes 3 for 4. The only incompletion came on that Brian Callahan mentions in that clip that he saw some zero blitz for the first time. He tried to pass out of it to Tyler Lockett on that orbit motion. It wasn't a great throw. Lockett dropped it. Even if he had caught it, I don't know if there was much room for him to make a move and get by the defender. But outside of that, Cam Ward made some throws, hit Van Jefferson on the sideline to start off that 90-yard touchdown drive, his final drive of the preseason, found Alec Iamanner twice over the middle. So overall, I liked what I saw from Cam Ward on Friday night. I think he looked in control of the offense. Even on that play to Tyler Lockett, it did look like, and I saw it was Brian Baldinger did a breakdown of that Brian Flores blitz zero that he showed him. It looked like Cam Ward at least recognized it. He got the ball out quick. You'd like to see a more accurate throw, but at the very least, you saw the processing was there. So overall, I thought Cam Ward looked good on Friday night. Again, it's preseason against backups, but encouraging signs as he ends the preseason on a high note heading into the regular season.
And that's what Brian Flores tries to do. He tries to make a living off of going after younger quarterbacks like this, and he's one of the best defensive coordinators in the league for a reason, throwing all those exotic blitzes, the man pressures, all of that. And I also thought Cam Ward played well this preseason. He did exactly everything that I wanted to see. He didn't turn the football over, despite almost doing it in the first game against Tampa. His timing looked good. His feet looked good. I thought he took what was given to him, checked it down when need be, made some explosive plays. So overall, nothing too much to complain about Cam Ward, and I actually feel more confident about him going into Denver than I did about 3-4 weeks ago.
Yeah, and they obviously relied on the run game on that drive, but I thought that drive was the best that we've seen Cam Ward look in the preseason. Even the touchdown drive against Tampa, you mentioned he probably should have been picked off on that drive before they got down and scored. So I thought that was the best drive that he had. Got helped out a little bit by the holding call on third down, although that was a nice play, rolling to his right, found an open receiver. Maybe you don't want him throwing back across his body to the middle of the field, but something that the coaching staff and Mike Borgonzi has praised is his spatial awareness, and clearly you could see that he saw Chestnut running out across the field and found him, but got bailed out a little bit by that holding call. But overall, I thought Cam Ward looked good. He came up about 6 inches short of throwing his first touchdown pass in the preseason. Alec Iamanner just couldn't quite reach to the goal line, and they cashed it in on the very next play to get into the end zone. So Cam Ward looked good. I think that's a confidence builder when it comes to Cam Ward's final appearance of the preseason. You know, you want to send him in there on a high note, and I think they did exactly that. I do have a thought on Cam Ward's footwork. And Parker Kelly, we have a resident quarterback coach with us. So we'll get to that here in a second. But first, let's go to our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dustin from Hopkinsville is on the line. Dustin, thanks for calling. Good morning. What you got for us?
Good morning, guys. While I didn't watch the game in real time, I went back and watched Cam play a little bit. I think it was last week or after the first preseason game, some caller texted in and said, you know, he hadn't scored a touchdown or whatever. Well, when you play two drives, I mean, you don't get momentum. It's the preseason. Coming from somebody who's been very critical on Cam Ward, buddy, I flipped the script. I like what I see now. Like, I see it now. And this was 2 weeks ago. I wasn't. He's got zip on the ball. He throws it away. And that's one thing I can say. He is using his brain where Will Levis didn't. He's got some physical attributes, too, that I really like. He's playing smart. The game is not too big for him right now. I know it's preseason. But, like you said, they're sending guys at him. And he's throwing the ball away. I thought he was holding it too long at first, but the dude's mobile, and if he can get away and try to make something happen and still throw it away, I'm good with it. I really like what I've seen out of the last two games, even though Van Jefferson cannot catch a dang cold.
Thanks for the call, Dustin. I don't know about that. We'll talk about Van Jefferson in a second, but Van looked pretty dang good on Friday night against the Vikings. But I agree with you. I think Cam Ward, I said last week, we did kind of a vibe check on Cam Ward, and do you feel better, do you feel worse about Cam Ward than you did at the beginning of training camp? And I said I felt a little bit worse. I was one of the big advocates for Cam Ward and drafting him and saying that this is a franchise quarterback. I think he underwhelmed me a little bit early on, but I am liking that you're seeing the growth. The Tampa Bay game, there were two plays where you look at and you say, he's got to be smarter than that. You hit a DB right in the hands, and then you leave the throwaway inbounds, which ended up hurting him a couple of days later in the joint practices against Atlanta. But we've seen him start to make some growth. There were no turnover-worthy plays on Friday night against the Vikings. Like, he took care of the football. He made the throws when he had to. The Van Jefferson throw to start off that second drive. Parker, I want to get your thoughts on this. So there were a lot of tweets. I saw Paul Kaharsky put one out that the Titans are trying to coach Cam Ward to step into his throws. And you can clearly see that he kind of fades away there. He steps sideways and just shows off the pure arm talent to get that ball out there. Parker Kelly, for those who don't know, he coaches quarterbacks. A former college football quarterback in our presence here. Do you think that is a red flag for Cam Ward that maybe he isn't stepping into his throws, or is that just a guy who has so much arm talent that he can get away with some of those things, like stepping sideways on that throw to Van Jefferson to start off the second drive?
Overall, I don't have a huge issue with his mechanics, because when I watch Cam Ward, his mechanics are very similar to that of Patrick Mahomes. Not saying he is Patrick Mahomes, just saying his mechanics are very similar to Patrick Mahomes. Now, what do we know about Cam Ward? He has incredible arm talent. That was clearly on display at Miami. It was on display at Washington State. There are some times where, yes, he does fade away from the throw. And what Paul Kaharsky is referring to is sometimes Cam Ward has this, he'll step sideways instead of stepping at his target. And what I like to refer to that to as is stepping in the bucket. He steps in the bucket sometimes, and he gets his shoulders turned to about 90 degrees, and from there it is all arm. And just because you can make throws like that doesn't mean you always should make throws like that. And what I tell my quarterbacks is it all starts from the ground up. So if you're stepping at your target, you're getting your hips, you're getting that torque, that makes the throw so much easier. And there are some times where Cam Ward does step to the side, and from there it's all arm. A great example of it was the almost pick in the Tampa game. He stepped to the side, and it was all arm, and it almost resulted in a pick. If you step into it, you get the proper rotation, it makes the throw so much easier.
Yeah, and I think, and Titans fans may not want to hear this because it's going to be a mistake in a game, a turnover, but he's probably going to have to underthrow one, have one get cut off by a DB and get picked off before he actually starts to make those changes. Like, we saw it with the, I just mentioned the throwaway against Tampa. It didn't hurt him in the preseason game. It hurt him in the joint practice. And then he said, pain. Like, I didn't get away with it. I can't do that anymore. I think, and who knows, maybe he keeps doing it and it ends up working out for him. Maybe he has that much arm talent that the footwork doesn't really matter. But I think you can make the guess that eventually it's going to get him into some trouble, and he'll have to make the adjustment. Dustin from Hopkinsville texts in, if it works for him and doesn't cause chances for turnovers, it's not an issue. Agreed, but I think eventually it will become an issue, and he's going to have to figure it out.
Well, I'd also like to clarify, there are some times that he is going to have to step off to the side. Like, if you have pressure and you kind of have to sidearm that
right thing,
that stuff is going to happen. Mahomes does that all the time. Aaron Rodgers, he makes those throws. But there, it's the times where you're not getting pressure, where the offensive line's protecting for you, you have almost 4 seconds to throw. It's those times where I wouldn't recommend stepping in the bucket and just all arm from there. But
yeah,
there are sometimes you will have to make those throws, but just because you can doesn't mean you make them all the time.
I think that's an important differentiation to make there is, yes, there are going to be times where off schedule or the throw to Iamanner that almost was the touchdown, where he kind of had to step around and sidearm it, and it was a great throw, and it was exactly what they needed right there. That's where you have to use it. But the Van Jefferson throw to start the drive, clean pocket, and instead of stepping into it, he stepped sideways. The throw was great. It got there. But against great defensive backs, which were not on the field when he made that throw, that one might flutter up there a little bit, and a guy can jump in front and pick it off. We'll see. I think it's going to take Cam Ward throwing a pick doing that for him to actually learn. Like, a lot of times with these quarterbacks, you have to see it and have it hurt you before you make the change. So, honestly, maybe it happens against Denver where he gets a little bit loose with it and it ends up costing the team. Then I think he has to make a little bit of a change.
And honestly, having to learn those tough lessons could actually be a good thing, depending on your perspective. Throwing over the middle and being picked off by Cody Barton 3 times in practice. Cam Ward loved to throw over the middle at Miami. Loved to throw up the seams, loved to throw up the hashes. The hashes are a lot tighter in the NFL, so you can't necessarily throw it the same way you would throw it at, let's say, Miami.
Yep.
So he's having to learn that lesson. I'm not sure if he'll do that in the regular season. We'll have to find out. I'm sure he'll try. But it's not always the worst thing in the world for a rookie quarterback to learn lessons the hard way.
David on our text line asked, don't you think he ended up having a more consistent preseason than Shador? Shador only played 2 games. Cam played 3, but, you know, Shador played more in each of those games. Yes. This is why you don't make a judgment off of one preseason game. We had people texting in after Shador threw the 2 touchdowns against Carolina saying the Titans took the wrong quarterback. Guess what? It's a preseason game. I didn't get to watch the game Shador played on Saturday, but from the highlights that I saw and the reaction that I heard, I don't think he was very good. He took a 24-yard sack on 2nd and 10 or 2nd and 12. So not great. This is why you don't make judgments on the preseason. Cam Ward was widely regarded as the number one quarterback in the draft. The Giants tried to trade up for him and couldn't because the Titans wanted him that bad. I think that speaks more than what these guys do in a couple of preseason drives.
And it's not apples to oranges either.
Right.
So
we will see what happens when the regular season starts. We are getting closer. 10 days away from kickoff between the Eagles and the Cowboys, and 13 days away from the Titans' debut in Mile High coming up on September the 7th. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have thoughts, we'd love to hear from you. Coming up next, it was a big day for Van Jefferson, and Titans fans were all ready to cut Van Jefferson after that drop against Atlanta a couple weeks ago. He comes out, puts up over 100 yards with a long touchdown. We will talk about Van and his place on this roster coming up next. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. That was Cam Ward after the game on Friday night talking about the big day from Van Jefferson. Triple-digit receiving yards. He had the long touchdown from Brandon Allen. Really nice bounce back day for Van Jefferson after, again, kind of being cut by the fan base after dropping that pass from Cam Ward in Atlanta. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. I really like what I saw from Van Jefferson on Friday night. And again, it's against backups have to put the caveat in there of I don't think Van Jefferson is going to immediately become a productive receiver who puts up 500 yards this year. That's not what I'm saying, but he was never going to be cut, but I think he's put himself in a spot where he's going to be a starter for this team to start the year. I don't think Alec Iamanner is going to get that starting X spot immediately, but Van Jefferson's days as a starter are numbered, but he is a good placeholder to have until Alec Iamanner is ready. Like, I think that's all he's going to be, and I think by the end of the season, there could be a chance that Van Jefferson is a healthy scratch when your options are, you know, do you want to have Chim Dike out there and Bryce Oliver, who's a great gunner, and if James Prochet is your punt returner, he's got to be active. I think there's a chance by the second half of the season that Van Jefferson is a 50-50 shot to be active on game days. But I think for right now, he's proven that he can at least be a reliable option for the first couple weeks until Alec Iamanner gets his feet wet enough that he can be your starting X receiver.
You know how this fan base is, overreacting to everything. I thought it was a terrible drop, personally, against Atlanta for Van Jefferson. This was the bounce-back game that he needed, but I feel that he was always going to make this roster regardless of the drops because he's a veteran receiver, and to be honest, the quality of the receivers in the receiver room, not great. Van Jefferson can provide some veteran insight. You know, there are plenty of players who may not be the best on the field, but what they contribute in the locker room and just from a mind perspective is way more beneficial than anything they can contribute on the field. He was always going to make this team just because he's a veteran.
Right, and the Titans don't really have the luxury of cutting guys who have been productive in the NFL. I mean, I think they're going to keep seven, and we'll do roster math later on in the show, but if you're keeping seven, he's going to make the team. Even if you keep six, it probably means that Prochet is getting cut because he didn't win the punt returner job. I think he did, and I think they'll keep seven. Ben on our text line asks, how do you think the balance will work out during the season between Jefferson being a coveted tradable asset and staying to help Cam more? I wouldn't call Van Jefferson a coveted tradable asset, but who knows? If he makes some plays early on in the season, I get your point that maybe by the trade deadline, you want to get Alec Iamanner more opportunities, and if Van Jefferson is playing well, that could be an opportunity to trade him for a day three pick, maybe a sixth you could get for Van Jefferson. I could see it, but I don't know exactly if there are going to be many teams. Ben does mention an injury. A team might want him at some point. Maybe a team gets desperate for wide receiver help, and you could get something for Van Jefferson. I think he's just going to be a veteran presence in that room who's going to be on the field a lot early and maybe not a lot later on in the season. But it was really good to see Van Jefferson have a nice game on Friday night. Again, the Ravenwood High School product, he made some plays on a Friday night in Middle Tennessee. I was sitting at the game, and I believe I had some Ravenwood people sitting behind me, and they were very happy that Van Jefferson had himself a nice game. I'm getting some... Adam in Portland calls me Jake from Hate Farm talking about Cam Ward's feet, and I see some people on the YouTube chat talking about this. I'm not saying this is a huge deal for Cam Ward. I was just bringing up a concern that was posed on Friday night. People looked at that throw and they said Cam Ward stepping to his side. We have a...
How dare we analyze the rookie
right,
quarterback?
Like,
how dare we?
I'm not trying to say it's going to ruin his career because he has his footwork is a little sloppy at times. I'm saying it's something that the coaching staff has said they want to clean up, right? The coaching staff has said they want to clean up his footwork. And that was a play where he got away with it, and it was a great throw because he has great arm talent, but he may not always get away with it when he's facing actual NFL starters.
Coach Callahan said in his media availability that Cam Ward is not a finished product.
Right.
If Cam Ward was perfect, he would be a finished product. Clearly, there are some things to work. He's a rookie. And what did I start out by saying? I said, overall, I'm not concerned about his mechanics.
I'm not overly concerned either.
I said that from the jump.
I think there are going to be plenty of plays that Cam Ward makes with poor footwork that end up being highlight plays because that's just who he is. He calls himself a gunslinger, and sometimes he'll be off platform and he makes plays. But those are the plays that could get him in trouble. When he's standing in a clean pocket and he doesn't have proper footwork, you could end up making a mistake. Like, the mechanics are important. The footwork is important. Can he get away with it because of his arm talent? for sure. But I'm not Jake from Hate Farm. I'm not hating here. I'm a big Cam Ward believer. I'm just looking at a concern that was posed.
You're an optimistic
Friday night.
Person.
I am. I would say that I try and look at the bright side. And
you're glass half full.
Yeah, exactly. And I would, again, if anybody listened to our Saturday show leading up to the draft, I was the one who was banging the drum for Cam Ward. I wanted Cam Ward from February. So I'm hoping I'm proven right by him. I'm just pointing out that you can see pretty easily on that throw, he could have stepped into it. He stepped sideways. It was a great throw. It was on the money. It was a great play, but it was against backups. If it's Pat Surtain out there, maybe somebody else, maybe he makes a play.
He may not get away with that.
Right, exactly. So I think it probably isn't going to be a huge deal. I think he can get away with it, but not always. And it's something that I think he has to be a little bit more consistent with. And the coaching staff has said as much. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have thoughts on the Titans preseason finale against the Vikings, we'd love to hear from you. 615-737-1025. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This isn't just a concert, it's a cause. Trinetics Rock the Cradle helps give fragile newborns a stronger start and keeps moms close when it matters most. With Tim McGraw live on stage and your support behind every beat, Ascension St. Thomas is turning music into healing. Tickets are on sale now at rockthecradlenashville.org. When we come back, it was a big day for a certain Titans kicker on Friday night. The longest field goal in Nissan Stadium history and a double doink. We'll talk about Joey Sly and the Titans special teams coming up next. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Tune in for the Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix race on 102.5 The Game this Sunday. Coverage begins at 1 p.m. and is brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. I want to talk about Joey Sly, the resident Hokie for me on the Tennessee Titans. I saw him on the sideline on Friday night, and he is a big man. That is a huge person who is a kicker. Not your typical kicker build for Joey Sly. It wasn't your typical kicker game for Joey Sly on Friday night either. 63-yard field goal, and preseason kicks don't count, so Rob Baronis' record of 60 yards is still safe for the longest in Nissan Stadium history, but he did knock it through from 63. It had room to spare. And then later in the game, from 53 yards out, he doinks it off the top of the upright, then off the crossbar and through. Parker, the side angle of that kick, I know you were doing game blitz, so I don't know if you guys were watching in here, but the side angle of it hitting off the top of the crossbar, it looks like it's going to come down and miss, but it had enough spin that it hits the upright and bounces through. Joey Sly, he may not be as accurate as Nick Folk was, but he is going to give the Titans an opportunity to capitalize. I would say from about the 45 in, that's within range for Joey Sly.
Joey Sly is a gym rat, and that's very evident in the way he's built. He's built like a linebacker, a short linebacker, but a linebacker. And the 63-yard field goal, I did see in real time. I did not see the double doink since we were doing game blitz. But the 63-yard field goal, very impressive. It seems like the range for all these kickers just keeps getting longer and longer and longer. Brandon Aubrey had, a 64-yard field goal for the Cowboys?
Yeah, well,
in the preseason?
Cam Little had a 70-yard field goal for Jacksonville.
Yep.
How long do you think it is until we see a 75-yard field goal? Like, do you think that's within, 5 or 10 years? The legs just keep getting stronger.
Cam Little, did he have room to spare on that field goal?
I think he did. Like,
maybe a couple extra yards or so?
I mean, I remember the shot of Sebastian Janikowski for the Raiders lining up to kick from, I think it was 70 to 75, and everybody kind of laughed at it 10 years ago. Now that might start to become the norm with the way these guys swing that leg. It is not out of the question to see a 70-plus yard field goal in an actual game this year. And who knows how long before we get up towards 75. You might just have to get to your own 40, and you'll have a chance to kick a field goal with the way these guys are evolving.
Might be Brandon Aubrey, the first one to make a 75-yarder. Be Brandon Aubrey.
It's fantastic. And I think the Titans, they changed their special teams philosophy, both with kickers and punters this year. They kind of went opposite. With kicking, they wanted to get more aggressive. Nick Folk was almost automatic from inside 50, but you got beyond 50 and his range ran out. Joey Sly, he's probably going to miss a couple of 37-yard field goals this year, but he's also going to make a couple of 55 to 60-yard field goals. So you got to take the good with the bad there. With punting, they kind of did the opposite of Ryan Stonehouse was your boomer, not age, but your boomer punter. They now do have a boomer punter with age with Johnny Hecker, the veteran. And he's going to be more of your finesse, accuracy. He's going to try and set up his coverage to be in the best possible situations. I thought Johnny Hecker looked decent from what I saw on Friday night. So they flipped philosophies on special teams, going more aggressive in the kicking game, more conservative in the punting game with Bones Fossil at the helm.
And Ryan Stonehouse was actually cut over the weekend, I think,
yes,
or
he
waived
was. Yeah,
by the Dolphins.
He got cut by the Dolphins.
Yeah, but the thing with Johnny Hecker is the hang time, because ever since the injury, Ryan Stonehouse was never the same. Johnny Hecker gets great height on his punts, and it gives the punt unit a chance to get down the field to lessen the return. The thing with Stonehouse, he may kick it far, but it was a line drive, and that's why the Titans allowed all – or it was a reason why the Titans allowed all these great punt returns
last year. If you kick it 65 yards, but you give up a 25-yard return, that's still not a great punt.
That's a net of 40, which isn't great.
Right. So. Like, Johnny Hecker is going to – he might kick it 50, but he's going to set up the coverage that they're going to be right there, force either a fair catch or a quick return. Johnny Hecker – from what we've heard, it hasn't been a great preseason, but I did think he looked decent on Friday night. I thought the hang time was good. There was one punt that they gave up a decent return, but it looked like it was more the coverage unit that wasn't great. I saw Mason Kinsey was one of the gunners, and it's the same conversation of why was Jaquan Jackson returning punts against Atlanta? Like, on special teams, give the guys who are actually going to do it the reps in the preseason. Like, I get it. You might need these guys as depth pieces later on. Like, if Mason Kinsey makes it through to the practice squad and he has to be elevated later, sure. But I would have loved to just go put out the guys who are going to do it. And it was nice to see Chim Dike get some reps at punt returner on Friday night. But I think overall, the special teams game is going to look better this year for the Titans. Although, it's a low bar based on what Colt Anderson and Craig Aukerman have done the last couple of years.
Yeah, I thought Paul had a great question to Bones Fossil. I believe it was on Wednesday or Thursday, but asking about Jaquan Jackson, because he's not going to make the team as a receiver. Why are you wasting reps with him at punt returner, at kick returner? He was also asked about Chim Dike, and it sounded like he was a little hesitant of sticking him out there right now since he's a rookie. His head's probably spinning. So it would make the most sense for James Prochet to be back there.
Yeah, I think the Titans are going to keep James Prochet, and we'll talk about the roster math coming up later. Adam in Portland, thank you. From boom to boomer, that's what the Titans did at punter this year, from Stonehouse to Hecker. That's a good one. Quick update from Terry McCormick of Titans Insider. He put out there this morning that a league source indicated that there appears to be a good chance the Titans will place running back Tajay Spears on short-term injured reserve to begin the season. So Tajay Spears will have to make the 53, and then he will immediately be placed on injured reserve. So I think that saves Julius Chestnut's job, at least for now. I think Chestnut will make the 53, but I think they're going to make a waiver claim at running back. That one feels like one of the pretty safe positions. They're going to look for somebody who's a little bit more dynamic in the passing game, try and replace some of what Spears brought. But it seems like the Titans are going to play it safe with Tajay Spears, which I think is the right move. Because, yeah, maybe he's healthy enough to play by week two or week three, but those high ankle sprains can linger. And it's like, if he gets rolled up on again, then you might lose him for a good chunk of the season. I kind of like the idea here of, you know, let's put him on ice for a month, let him get fully healthy and bring him back, and we'll see what gets cut loose in the next 24 hours or so if the Titans can go find a third down type back. Because although I like Julius Chestnut, he had the nice hurdle on Friday night that set up the touchdown drive. And I think that Kalel Mullings has shown some promise too. You need somebody who can be the threat out of the backfield like Spears was to complement Tony Pollard.
Yeah, and the thing about the ankle injury for Tajay Spears is I think it's also a bit of a mental block as well, because when you suffer an injury like that, it kind of lingers in the back of your head that, oh no, I don't want to step this way because I may hurt my ankle again. So I think there's a mental hurdle as well. But going back to Julius Chestnut, he just finds a way just to stick around on this roster. He's kind of like Mason Kinsey in that way.
They're the cockroaches.
He's just always there. Keeps making plays, and the hurdle was really impressive in the touchdown run. So he'll find a way to make this 53-man. I think they're keeping, well, I guess three roster spots would be included for running backs, because if you're putting
I think it'll be four to start, and then you put Spears on IR.
And then claim a running back?
Yeah, I think you claim one, and then it's a decision of where you think you need the spots elsewhere. If you think you can keep Julius Chestnut and bring in another running back, that's fine.
Yep.
But if they feel like they need more depth at offensive tackle or maybe at edge or inside linebacker or corner, maybe that's when you cut Julius Chestnut loose too and hope you can get him back on the practice squad. But yeah, I think they're going to keep four, and Spears will go on IR. Running back now becomes one of those positions where I think a waiver claim is likely. And we'll go through the roster math in the 11 o'clock hour. I have a certain amount of locks on the 53-man roster, and a certain amount of spots up for grabs, although I think a decent amount of those spots that are up for grabs probably will be given to a waiver claim instead of somebody currently on the 90-man roster. Again, we are just over 24 hours away from roster cutdowns. We should start seeing these moves pouring in throughout the day today and tomorrow. We'll see where the Titans end up. And again, whoever makes the 53 tomorrow, there's a decent chance that there's some more churning of the roster at the back end, with the Titans having the number one waiver priority. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'd love to hear from you. You can text or call. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Plenty more Titans talk throughout the morning here. We will do our roster math coming up at 11 o'clock. And again, I have two in-stadium gripes with the Titans. Maybe only one of them is in stadium, the other more just a visual thing. But college football is back. Week zero over the weekend. We will dive into Farmageddon and Hawaii's big win over Stanford coming up next. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game.